scripture when we ponder whether or not we will become a Christian. And it's a question that we constantly need to be thinking about as we try to live our lives as Christians. The question before us kind of, in my mind, resolves itself into a number of associated questions that every one of us needs to be concerned about. Now, we know about baptism, and we know how critical, how central and part baptism plays in becoming a Christian. We're not talking about baptism at this point. We're talking about Christianity. We're talking about the significance of being a Christian. So the first question that I would ask is, when I was baptized, what exactly did I allow somebody to do to me? Now, we can talk about the physical parts of it. You're going to go down into the water. Someone is going to baptize you, or they're going to dip you into the water. But really, what does all of that mean? It's more than just the physical part of being dipped into the water. There's got to be a lot more significance to it than that. And we're going to spend a number of discussions talking about what all of this really means. How does it really affect my life? So the second question that we would ask ourselves is, what happened to me when I was baptized? What exactly was going on? We might also consider, what have I become? How am I different from what I was before I became a Christian? What exactly is different about me? And those are not easy questions to answer. And I'm sure that the longer you've been a Christian and the longer you've been thinking about it, those are the kinds of questions that you ponder as well. We might also ask, what should my response be? You know, I have become a Christian. Uh-oh. Let's see. What do I do in response? It means something. It means a lot to us. But how do I now live that I'm a Christian? Is there something about me that's different than what it was before? So we'll talk about what my response would be. And I think we can really begin to say that in the first place, I am a person who is reborn. Now, we're all familiar with the imagery that Jesus uses when he talks about baptism. We're familiar with the imagery of a new creation. We read from Romans, the 6th chapter, at verse 4, beginning, therefore we've been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. For if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, you might be reading that from a different translation, but I think you get the idea that we are become a new creation. What does that mean? It's not easy to describe exactly, is it? 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, at verse 17, the apostle says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, different from what he was. How is he different? What's happened? Old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. If you knew me before I became a Christian, and you knew me after I became a Christian, should there be something that is so impressive to you that you would immediately know that something had happened in my life? That's the real question. And we're going to talk about that. We'll spend some time trying to develop that. This all happens because of a new birth. And we know that one of the parts of that new birth is being baptized. But James, in the first chapter and at verse 18, says, in the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. There is something fantastic that happens in baptism. In 1 Peter chapter 1 at verse 23, he says, you've been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but seed which is imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God. What is it that was critical in making this new birth that happened in baptism possible? It was the word of God. If you were to turn back to the pages of history and you were to read about what the Roman emperors had to say about how to be a new creature, they would have said, you must be in me. I am the one that can make you all things that you need to be. The Roman civil system is what makes you all things that you need to be. Being born in America is the thing that makes you what you need to be. And that's not it. It's the word of God. That is what produces this birth that we are so emphasizing this evening. John, the third chapter, beginning at verse 3, a passage that most of us can repeat from heart, a passage that most people know absolutely throughout the whole world. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus and he says, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? See, Nicodemus got the idea. This is something really important. It is transformative beyond anything that we can imagine almost. He says, can a man be born when he's old? How can he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus answered, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This new birth, this important aspect of being a Christian, the Apostle Paul describes to Titus in Titus 3. The apostle says, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds that we've done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's important. I can't stress it enough. But it's something that I'm not sure that I've always appreciated the way that I really should have appreciated. And when we get to be born again, when we become Christians, we have the opportunity to embark on a life that is totally renewed. What a marvelous concept. I made a mess out of things. My life was a wreck. And I got to be renewed. That's what the Apostle Paul says in Romans, the 7th chapter. Wretched man that I am, who can release me from this wretched state in which I find myself? It's Jesus Christ. It's this renewal. It's this new birth. It's, in short, it's becoming a Christian.
In 2 Corinthians 4 and at verse 16, Paul says, therefore, after considering all of the things that he talked about in 2 Corinthians, and we've been studying it, Lenny's been doing a wonderful job taking us through all of the things that happened to the Apostle Paul. You can imagine that most people would be beaten down by what happened to him. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Our outer man is decaying, but our inner man is being renewed day by day. And then finally, Romans, the 12th chapter, and at verse 2, the apostle says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove, and that word prove means demonstrate or show, what is the acceptable, the good and acceptable will of God. So I get to be a new person. That's what Christianity is about. It is the most marvelous transformation that we can imagine. Now, I said that I have this fear. And I do. I have a real fear that I've not appreciated this. I have a nagging belief that rather than appreciating what all of this really means, I have spent my life nibbling around the edges of that. I don't really quite want to put on Christ all the way. I want to just put him on a little bit. I want to be a better person. It's sure that there were things in my life that I needed to get straightened out. There were things in my life that I wanted to be rid of. There were things in my life that I wanted to change. And I am so glad that God did that. But, you know, I have a feeling that there's quite a bit more. I'm impressed by the statement that C.S. Lewis made. I've been rereading Mere Christianity. C.S. Lewis was a marvelous thinker. What a philosopher. I wish that I could say things the way that he said things. He took really complicated things and he expressed them in such simple terms that even I can understand it. And I begin to appreciate what God has done. Listen to what C.S. Lewis said, and I think he gets kind of at the point that we're going to discuss in the next coming weeks. He says, God became a man to turn creatures into sons. Not simply to produce better men, men of the old kind, but to produce a new kind of man. Now, that's meaningful. God didn't come here just so I could run faster, jump farther and higher. God came here to make me a new man. Not like anything that you'd ever seen before. C.S. Lewis says it's not like teaching a horse to jump better and better. It's like turning a horse into a winged creature. That's how big this transformation is. And I'm not sure I've let that happen in my life. But I'm going to try. I'm going to do my very best to appreciate what God has done for us. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about coming to appreciate what God has done in our lives. And we're going to try to the best of our ability to stop nibbling around the edges of this. We're going to go all the way. Lewis has another illustration. He says, you know, when you invite God into your life, and I'll paraphrase this one. So when you invite God into your life, there are things that you expect him to straighten out. It's like you invite him into your house. And you know that there are some things that need to be fixed. The drain doesn't work like it's supposed to work. But we're getting ready to buy a new house. And, you know, there are things that just don't work like they should. You've kind of gotten used to them not working like they should.
You know that they ought to be fixed. You know that. You got that drippy faucet. And it bothers you every once in a while, but you can live with it. You know it needs to be fixed. And you got the toilet that runs a little bit, but if you jiggle the handle, it stops most of the time. Well, Jesus comes into our life. He takes up residence in our life. Not just so he can fix a leaky faucet, and not just so he can fix the toilet that runs a little bit. He's going to tear down the whole thing and build something in our life that's worthy of a place for him to live. So he's going to take the poor house that I had, and he's going to turn that into a palace. Now, that, fixing my leaky faucet, that's okay. I know that we needed to do that, and I'm happy that you do that. But this tearing down the whole thing, I'm just not real sure that I want you to mess with my life quite that much. But that's what God is going to do. So we're going to try to appreciate that. You're here tonight, and you want to be a part of that. You want to put on Christ in baptism. You want to see that new birth. You're willing to say to somebody, you can put me to death. That's what baptism is. Somebody's going to put you to death, but that's okay, because I know God can make me alive again. If you're willing to do that tonight, then we want you to. We just love to share with you. But let me tell you, it's a scary thing. I had surgery when I was 40. I turned 40, in fact, in Providence Hospital ICU up in Anchorage, Alaska, having recovery, or during the recovery from open heart surgery. I remember the anesthesiologist coming into the room before they did the surgery, and he said, "Now, I have to tell you, we're going to take you about that close to being dead. But that's okay. I think I can wake you up again." And I said, okay, because I needed it. God's going to take you all the way to being dead, and he's going to raise you up something so much better that it is amazing the transformation that will bring to your life. It may be that you haven't appreciated that. You've done that, but you were thinking God was just going to fix the leaky faucets. You kind of stood in the way of letting God into all of the parts of your life. You know, most of us have some hidden places that we don't go very often. But God wants all of it. And it may be that you need to repent and of that kind of exclusivist attitude and turn back to God and let him have everything. But we're going to stand in a minute and we're going to sing a song together. It's a time when we can think about these things. It's a time when you can let somebody know that we can help if we can, because that's why we're here. So raise your hand while we're singing the song, or say something to somebody after we're dismissed, or grab one of the elders or anybody in the congregation and say, you know, I need help. I have not appreciated this. I want to be a part of this. This is exciting. I want this. And we'll help you. Let's think about it.